I want to see y'all. I want to see who y'all are. I think Alan Miller and I might do a comedy, stand-up comedy routine on that short video y'all going to see that night, that evening. So we're working on it, right, Alan? Oh, there you are. I see you. Yes. And it'll be funny. I want to do something today. I don't think I've ever really talked much about politics, but today I want to talk about it a little bit because I think we need to address and look at what's going on in the world. And this is an antique world map, right? It's not a modern day. But what we want to look at is what's happening, right? And everybody knows, if you're on any kind of media, you know the thing that's going on between Russia and the Ukraine. It's serious, right? It's on the other side of the world, but there's nobody in here that doesn't personally know someone in the Ukraine or know someone who has a relationship with someone from the Ukraine. Our world is like that today. And so I want to address this. What's going on in our world? How do we respond, right, to that as Christians? And I just pulled up some random pictures, but I've been watching pictures of kids and families from the Ukraine. They're just normal people. Like a few weeks ago, they were just being kids. They were just being adults, and they're just like us. It's like when you look at them, your heart starts to break when you realize that's not the case for them today, right? Today, they're in shelters. Today, they're going underground. Today, there's bombs dropping, random bombs dropping in their neighborhoods. And if you watch, you see them. I didn't want to show you those pictures, but what do we do about it? How do we help? And there's lots of people in the world helping, and you see. And, it's like the old saying in World War II, there's no atheist in the foxholes in a war. It's like you see, and you've seen it. You see pictures coming over the internet and things in the news thing. They're praying. They're worshiping. It's like all of a sudden, they're turning to the Lord. And there's thousands and thousands and thousands of born-again believers in the Ukraine and in Russia. Don't think that if you don't have compassion for the Russians, they're going to be hurt, killed in this thing too. They're just people. So it's like, what do we do about it? It's true. When you look at the world today, I think a lot of people see the world like this. They see the world, it's a big warning sign. It's a big warning sign. But I want to give you an interpretation of this warning sign because it is a big warning sign. It matters what you do. And I believe that when you look at that warning, look at what Paul said in Romans 1:16. You see, I know y'all tease me about Scripture, but I believe the Scripture. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. You see, that's not just the power of God to bring salvation in my life one time so I go to heaven. It was the power of God for salvation for the whole world. Do you know what the answer is for the problem in the Ukraine? He was born 2,000 years ago, and it's called the gospel. See, what's happening in the Ukraine? It's true. What's causing them to do that? What is wrong with President Putin? I can't say his name. It's in my mind right now. What's wrong with him? And the people that are calling the shots in Russia, you know what's wrong with them? They're in bondage. The gospel's the answer. And the gospel impacts every decision you make because you are not your own. You were bought with a price. And we have a master, and his name's Jesus. And Jesus tells me to pray. Well, pray. Jesus says you give. Well, give. Jesus says you to go over there and join the battle. Well, go join the battle. But it's your obedience to Him by faith that's going to bring the power of God into our world. It's not controlling political dominance, financial dominance. It comes from Him. And every one of us are a part of that. So the gospel's the power. The gospel is the power to change the world, and it's the power to change you. It's the same thing. And I just want to look at that because I think we lose this. You know what the gospel says? You know what's wrong with those people making those decisions, murdering people and destroying? It's horrible, guys. What if you held the key to stop those children from getting bombed? To stop it from ever happening again? What if you had the key to do that? Well, Paul said you do. It's the gospel. It's how you engage with Jesus is what's going to change the world. And I think we see the warning signs, and all of a sudden, the facts in our life or the atmosphere around us or the media tells you that God's not in control. But I want to tell you, we sang this song, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see the cosmos the way you see it." And you know how He sees it? It's His. The stars and the heavens and the earth all belong to the Lord now. And what's going to bring His will on earth is individuals like you and me engaging Him, giving our hearts to Him. You see, there's a battle going on, and here's the warning. What we need to be warned about, the most dangerous thing in your life isn't what the economy or the bombs or Russia or China or anybody else. The most dangerous thing that we ever face is our self-life, because self-life is what separates me from His life. You know what's wrong with Putin? Self-life. Self-life. If he was giving himself to the Lord, if he was engaging the Lord, if he was submitting to the Lord, he wouldn't be pulling those triggers right now. He wouldn't. You see, we need to understand, Jesus has the answer. He brought it to the world 2,000 years ago, and it's the answer for every problem in the world, including on a global scale and individual. One thing, self-life is what's causing all the problems. That means someone's life lived separated, independent of God. It doesn't mean doing things bad. Self-life, you can do good things with yourself without being in relationship with Jesus. It'll still bring bondage. You see, that's I want to show you in Scripture. Of course, I want to show you in Scripture. I'm going to convince you of this. That you hold the key to the future and destiny of our world. Quit complaining about other people and take care of yourself, and you will change the world. Because Jesus said the gospel is what's changing the world. And he's still Lord. You know what? That's the antique world map. No, it's not. That's Jesus' world map. It all belongs to Him. He came and took the keys away from the devil. And He's sitting at the right hand of His Father, ruling and reigning in heaven right now. And we need to remember that, no matter what you see on the news. Because you know what? Those people that are worshiping God as the bombs fall, those people that are praying as they're marching out to a battle with a BB gun against a rocket, those people have something inside of them more powerful than the bombs that are dropping around them. His name's Jesus. And that's the Jesus. We talked about pain and suffering last week. And how did Paul overcome all that? He won because of Jesus in him. So today, I want you to put this in your heads. This is the foundation of the gospel, really. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that was planted. It's true. In your life, it's true. Your behaviors, your attitudes, your addictions, your bondages, your joy, your peace, your giving, your serving, all of those can be attributed to a seed that was planted in your life. a seed. What's wrong with Russia? There's been seed planted that's controlling their behaviors. It's the same thing. And it's the same thing for us. And so today, we're going to go there, and I want to talk about this. And look at this verse. Of course, it's Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. And make no mistake about it. God will never be mocked. Y'all know this verse, maybe in the King James or New International, but you know the verse. God will not be mocked, for what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. Do you believe that? You really believe it? Like, do you believe it's about the good things in your life, or do you take credit for every good thing you do? Well, you self-righteous. No, we don't take credit for that stuff. It's like any good gift comes from somebody, and his name's not you. Right? We're going to read that verse. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that was planted. You don't have to be a genius to figure this out. You reap what you sow. Some of the older versions play into that. If you plant the corrupt seeds of self-life, I love how he translated that. Self-life. What's self-life? It's, I can do this. It's self-effort. If you plant the corrupt seeds of self-effort, well, you mean even if I work harder and I study harder and I do everything myself, good for people, what am I going to harvest from self-life? You know what? You're going to harvest death. You can expect to experience a harvest of corruption. If you plant the good seeds of spirit life, you will reap the beautiful fruit that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. You see, my heart breaks because the world doesn't know this. The church doesn't know it. We tell people to try harder, and we don't tell them the truth that a self-life produces death, a spirit-led life produces life. And that's happening. It is true in the world. It's as true as gravity. And so when you see something bad happening, you know why it's happening. It's in the Scripture. And it's in your life too. So you know it's true. Now, what's going to break this monster, this horrible thing happening? It's the gospel. It's us, it's the people in the world that are going to live by the Spirit. The Spirit brings life. Self-effort brings death. If you plant the good seeds of Spirit life, you will reap the beautiful fruits that grow from everlasting life of the Spirit. So now we know. I know it's interesting to watch, and we want to know. We all have opinions, and we all think we have the answer. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus came with the answer, and it's Him. Do you believe that? Do you believe the best way for the world to live is being led by the Spirit? And they'll harvest good fruit. Do you believe that's true for you? You did. Everyone who's accepted Jesus as their Savior and Lord, you did believe that. But do you believe it right now? Or have you slipped back into self-effort? What you once have, Paul said, once having begun in the Spirit, why would you go back into self-effort? Because you know what that brings you. So I want to look at scriptures about that. So don't allow yourselves to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds. For the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. Unstoppable. Listen, I want to tell you this. You go back just 200 years, the world is a better place today than it was 200 years ago. You've got a better car today than you would have had 200 years ago. Better bed, better mattress. Most of you have air conditioning and heat. We have better food. We don't have people from the Huns or the Romans. We don't have people breaking into our homes and stealing our children and making us stand and watch it right in front of them. That's not happening in our world anymore. Yeah, we have wars, and the wars come from a self-life person and people. But I want to tell you, in the majority of the world, the majority of the world is getting better and better. Why? Because people are better. No, we're not any better. It's because we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's 2 billion people on earth today that stand up and say, Jesus is Lord, and they're living the Spirit life, and that's impacting the whole world. That's what's happening. So the best thing you can do, if you want to be happy, you know what you need to do? Live by the Spirit. Now, there's a competition going on, right? Because we have a choice. Do we want to live a self-life? Or do we want to live by self-effort? You know, I think everybody in here right now, if push came to shove and somebody came in here and said, okay, guys, are you going to follow Jesus or are you going to deny him and follow me? I don't think any of you guys would go follow him. If Satan himself was in here, no, we're going to follow Jesus because we know he is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way. We know that, and so we're going to stand up for him. But the truth is that battle's going on every day. Now, here's an interesting word in James chapter 1, and you can do a word study on this word in all throughout Scripture. It's the word deceived. That's an interesting word. James chapter 1 says, don't be deceived. Verse 16, my dear brothers and sisters, don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift's from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. And you know what he's saying here? When you choose to live a Spirit-led life, good gifts are going to fall down from heaven. They're unstoppable. And give him credit for it. Yes, you know who gets credit for those soft seats you're sitting in right now? I mean, mostly me, because I hate it when those little thin cushions that hurt when you sit there a while. So when we got these chairs, I was like, I don't want anything but 10-inch cushions. Because some of us don't have a lot of padding. And I know who you are, right? Others of you don't need it. That's okay. But the rest of it, some of us do. And it's comfortable. And guess where that gift came from? Well, if the Scripture's correct, it came from above. Every good gift comes from above. Where does your economic system and social status and where does your physical health, where does that come from? Well, it comes from the people who invented it. It comes from the government. It comes because I'm a smart person. No. Well, you can believe that if you want to. There's one voice that says every good gift comes from God. There's another voice that says we get it through self-effort. Choose. Choose. Is there anyone in the world who's going to stand up and say, Jesus is Lord and he's King and he's in charge of every good thing that's ever happened? I'm saying that. Yeah, but you're stupid. Are you willing to be stupid for Christ? Are you willing to live by faith instead of by knowledge and wisdom and understanding? Are you willing to live by faith and admit the truth that the world is getting better and better and not worse and worse? And when you say that, give him the credit. That nice vehicle you have, it comes from him. It's from him. I mean, I saw the movie about the guy who invented intermittent wipers. Those are a big deal. The idea came from the Lord. Right? He got the patent, but the idea came from Jesus. So God wants us to be the first fruits of a people who live a Spirit-led life. He wants to bless your socks off. He wants to give you strength to endure in pain. He wants to give you the power to have patience when you're waiting on life to come. He wants you to be the kind of person that if they happened to us, if we were living in the Ukraine, we would still praise him even when the world is crumbling around us in our lives. And we'd still stand up and say, Jesus, you are good. And we'd tell our children, trust him. But Dad, we might die. Trust Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you to know him. In Colossians, Paul, you can read all the way through 14, but we're not. He says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ. You see, a Spirit-led life is all by faith. It's believing. It's all by faith, right? Then he says this, the gospel, this is what Paul said. Now, this is Paul, that was the most educated man in all of Israel, who was Roman and Jewish and had traveled. And he knew everything, right? In the world, he knew everything. Paul said this. Don't read it ahead of me. Y'all are reading before I'm saying it. You don't believe it. You don't catch him. Josh. Oh, Josh got him. Josiah was escaping. Wonder where his mother is. I wonder if she knows who he left her son with. The gospel, that powerful thing that Paul talked about, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. Do you know what's happening? If you're living by the Spirit, if you're living, believing, and trusting Jesus and seeing Him above everything, then you're going to bear the fruit. You're going to harvest the good fruit that comes from that. That's the gospel. The gospel is also, if you're living a life of self-effort and self-promotion and self-fixing, you're going to reap destruction. Both are 100% going to happen. And Paul said the whole world's bearing the fruit and growing throughout. It's the gospel's bearing fruit. There's two kinds of fruit. Just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. For those of us who choose to follow Jesus, we'll experience a blessing, a harvest of that. For those of us that choose to live in self-effort, we'll experience a harvest of that too. Those two combined are going to bring the world to Jesus. Because eventually, we humans get tired of pain. We get tired of being unhappy. We get tired of being in bondage. And we'll turn to the light. And that's how God created the gospel. So the harvest is really true. Now, y'all saw that word there. We're going there. Deceived. I want to look at that word. And I just want you guys to see it. James chapter 1:16. Don't be deceived. That's an interesting Greek word, right? It's a compound Greek word. It has a preposition in the beginning of it, which is ex or ek. And that means to take, wrote it down there, denoting from or from out of. It means literally to take something out from within yourself and place it into another person. That's what that preposition means, which we don't have in English. The other word is apatao, that means to deceive. You see, being deceived is not just an intellectual activity, it's literally a relationship. Okay, let's go to some verses. I'll show you, there's hundreds of verses about that. Well, to be deceived, there has to be a deceiver, right? If I deceive you, I'm the deceiver. Now, I can't deceive you like it's talking about in Scripture because I'm not supernatural like that. I can't take a deception out from me and put it in you. I can convince you up here, but I can't do anything to you. Well, look what he says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. You foolish Galatians. Paul was such an encouraging guy. You foolish Capitonians, who has bewitched you? That comes from the same root word. You see, deception is more than just an intellectual decision. It's witchcraft. There's something dark. There's dark spirits involved in this deception. He said, before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit? Here's the deception. I'm going to say it over and over again. Here's the deception. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law? Redundant question. Or by believing what you heard? Only two choices. Like, this is so simple. Are you so foolish, Paul, don't call people names, after beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Are you trying to fix your problems by human effort? Are you trying to achieve what you want by human effort? Or are you living by the Spirit? You see, it's a big deal. And Paul said, who deceived you? Who bewitched you? Because when you believe that you can attain what you need and what you want by your own effort, then there is a spirit that you become entangled with. And it's witchcraft. It's a demon. And that demon's going to plant a seed in you. And then you will harvest that. You may not harvest it for a while, right? It may work for a while. You know, we call them coping mechanisms and different things like that. It may work for a while. As a matter of fact, it will work for a while. But there is a harvest coming, and you're going to receive that harvest. Are you doing it by self-effort? You see, could the gospel really be that? It's all relationship, but it's who you choose to have a relationship with? Would that be a great way? My heart breaks that the whole world should know that. If I was sitting down with Russia's president, like he would listen to me, but if he would, I'd say, dude, listen, if you'll walk in the Spirit, you'll get everything your heart has ever desired. The real things, love, peace, joy, stability, relationships. If you'll follow the Spirit, you'll have every bit of that. But if you keep doing it your own way, you're going to have the harvest of that too. And not only you are going to suffer, but thousands and thousands of innocent people are going to suffer because of you. You see, that's what happens when we live by self-effort. It's not just us that suffers. When I try to fix myself, it's not just me. I mean, I'm not a president, but I influence a few people, you know. And he said, have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? I have great compassion for those people being hurt. When I was studying this and looking at it, I'm like, God, I feel like I can't even preach this because I won't be able to do it without breaking down. I care about those people. You know what will change the world? The gospel. Did you hear me? Now, the gospel is you and I walking by the Spirit. So for me, it may be praying. For you, it might be giving. For someone else, it may be impacting three generations from now in the education system. I don't know, but if you'll live the gospel, it's going to bring peace to those places. It's happening all over the world now. Now here's something you need to know, because if you got the foundation of your life wrong, you're going to mess the whole thing up, okay? We have to get the foundation right if we're building something. And I believe that we had our foundation wrong. We actually, for somehow, mixed faith with works in our world. And the truth is, look at what it says. This really was, it talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you can read it in any version, Paul is talking about creation because he's dealing with this constantly in the world. You read all of his letters, they all deal with this. He said, now I'm afraid, his friends in Corinth, right? I'm afraid just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's clever lies, your thoughts may be corrupted and you may be led astray from. Now, he said Eve was deceived. He didn't say Eve was corrupt on the inside. What happened in the garden? According to Paul, the Apostle Paul, Eve was deceived. Now, what was she tricked, deceived from? Well, she was bewitched, right? There was an evil entity in the garden with her and Adam, the devil himself. And he convinced her that if she would go after what she wanted in her heart through self-effort, If she would do that, then she would get what she desired. What a deception. So she ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because the devil told her that would make her like her father. She was deceived. That's a wicked word. And when she was deceived, Satan put a hook in her and she became a slave. And then she gave some of the fruit to her husband and he ate it too. Now, humanity and the entire world began to worship a new god, little g, and to serve a new little g god, and his name was Satan. And the whole scene was set for Jesus to come, to be born of a virgin, unbelievable birth, to live on earth, never separated from God. You see, the battle that day in the garden was for Eve and Adam and Eve's heart. And the moment they chose to live in self-effort, they gave a heart, their heart to the enemy. You see, the gospel, he said this, Paul said this, "For you seem to God gladly," what was she deceived from? "You may be led astray from your single-hearted devotion and pure love for Christ." That's what happened. You see, the only thing that matters is your and my devotion to Christ. That's what changes us. It's what changes the world. So my heart breaks for those guys. And I have something I can do about it. And it's called being led by the Spirit. It's my devotion to the King, not any other king. Eve got tricked. They told her there was another way to have a good life. Satan lied to her. It was deception. You know, I love this. So what was the deception that she had? Self-life is good. Self-life will get you what you want. Self-effort will be the solution to every problem in your life. That's a lie. And it's not just a lie, it's a lie with a hook in it. It's demonic. And when you and I do that, the enemy puts a hook in us. And it brings death. There will be a harvest. You know what we need to be warned about? Not anything else in the world. You control your own destiny. You control your destiny. Because what you're going to harvest, what you'll harvest in the future, is being determined by your life you led today. If you live a life with Jesus, being led by the Spirit, you're going to harvest life. If you live a life of self-effort and self-promotion and self-decision, you're going to harvest that too. Don't be fooled. You will reap what you sow. Self-life stands in opposition to spirit life. You see, there's a battle going on for our hearts every day. It's a heart battle. And Jesus wants our hearts. He wants our affection. He wants our love. He wants our devotion. He wants us to depend upon Him and none other. And that is the battle going on in Europe today. It's the gospel. The harvest you reap. The harvest we reap. The harvest I reap reveals the seed that was planted. Jesus wants you to look at your life. Because you know what? We do affect what's happening in the Ukraine, even if we're not there, by living the gospel that brings life. So guys, it's a worldwide issue that you have a part in. But it's also an American issue that you have a part in. And it's also a Cabot issue. It's a grace issue. It's you personal. Your life. You want to have a good life? This is the key. Live led by the Spirit. And you will harvest. You'll harvest good things. I love that verse. I really do, because when you look at the fruit of the Spirit and the deeds of the flesh, that word fruit and that word deeds that Paul wrote, both of those words, foundation is harvest. The harvest of living in your own self-effort is all those bad things, Paul says in Ephesians 6. The harvest of living a life led by the Spirit, by faith, is everything you've ever desired. You choose. So I just encourage you, examine your life. Look at the harvest, and it'll reveal the seed. Jesus wants to bring you life. He is the source of all good things. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. You might want to quit planting the seeds of self-effort, or at least think about it. You might want to see what the result of that is. Look at your life. What's it done for you? If you're honest, you'll find out that there's nothing good that comes out of it. Every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven. Guys, we don't need to be afraid of the media or anything else in the world because we have the answer. And I want the whole world to know the gospel, to live by the gospel. And you'll see the world get brighter and brighter and brighter. That's the promise of God. It really is. So I just want to encourage you. When you see these bad things in the news, they are. It's horrible. The pain you feel, the pain they're feeling is absolutely true. You know who's the answer for their pain? You know who's the answer for the political problems? The gospel brings the answer to everything. You're not powerless. You carry the most powerful weapon on earth, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So guys, we need the world to know. We need the world to know that the harvest you reap reveals the seed that was planted. We need everyone to know that's true. That's why Jesus came. So let's all stand up. I think let's just stand in front of Him for just a second. So if you don't mind, just you can close your eyes if you want to, if that helps you focus. So Jesus, would you show us the truth about that? Is the harvest you reap really, does it really reveal the seed that was planted? So Jesus, is self-effort and self-life, is that really the cause of the destruction, the pain, the suffering, the wars? So God, we just pray that the gospel would spread around the world. And God, I thank you that Paul said it's true. It's already working worldwide. And God, we thank you for every good gift. And God, I just thank you that when we are suffering, when we're hurting, that you really are the solution to that too. And God, I pray for our friends, our brothers, the innocent people that are suffering right now in Europe. God, I pray for them that they would have a strength from you. Lord, I ask that you would intervene. God, that you would save life and restore peace into those places. Lord, I ask that those people who are being in bondage, that God, those people who are bewitched and that are pulling the triggers on these things, Lord, that they would have an eye-opening experience with you. Jesus, I ask that there would be, history would say that just like Paul rose out of that horrible persecution of the church, that there would be Pauls that rise up out of this conflict. That men and women, that no one would believe that they would turn to you, God. And Holy Spirit, we release angels to protect physically, emotionally, God, relationally, to protect the people that are in the line of fire. So Jesus, we just release angels right now to intervene in that conflict. Jesus, I ask for a peace to be restored in those places. Now ask the Lord for yourself. I just want to pray for you, because what's true for the world is true for each of us individually. So Jesus, would you expose in each of our hearts where we're reaping a harvest that reveals the seed that was planted in our lives? God, would you expose self-effort and self-promotion and the self-life in us? God, I ask that you'd expose to those of us that are trying to defeat the self-life by more self-life. God, I ask that you would show us, that you would just light a path of relationship. God, we just want to give you our hearts again. God, we don't want to be deceived by a false gospel and a pseudo-Jesus anymore. We believe it's all you, Jesus. It's all you. So God, I just thank you that the church and the world, the gospel is moving in power. God, I thank you that what you began 2,000 years ago can't be stopped. And Lord, help us to be people who are willing to stand up and proclaim the truth and live by faith no matter what it looks like in our world. God, we believe in you and in the power of your resurrection. We just thank you, King. So I just encourage you, pray for the people in that conflict, both sides, Russians and Ukrainians, whoever else gets involved. Jesus is the answer to what's going on. And then live the gospel. You respond to the Spirit as He leads you. And when we do that, it'll change the world. Believe it. It's true. It's true. So I thank you for coming this morning. We have a prayer team up here that wants to pray with you. And I believe God will move. I believe He will. So bring it to Him. Physical needs, emotional needs. Jesus is the answer to everything. Amen. So God bless you guys. Thank you for being here and putting up with this today. Jesus is Lord. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Sunday.